Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Great, Mike. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, it's wintertime.
We actually had to get the coats out. It's pretty cold, unseasonably so. So we're looking forward to some warmer weather next month.
Well, good. It should be a steamy winter, what with a new Congress coming in and new attention focused on what will eventually turn out to be something that's a modified health care reform plan. Anyways, as we move on to a clinical topic, let's talk today a little bit about a hospital-acquired pneumonia, a so-called nosocomial pneumonia. It occurs in about 48 hours after admission. Nosocomial infection is defined as infections that do not appear to be incubating at the time of admission. There are two broad categories. One is called ventilator-associated pneumonia. It develops more than 48 hours after endotracheal intubation. The other is more dubious. It's called healthcare-associated pneumonia. It's defined as pneumonia that occurs in a non-hospitalized patient, but one who has extensive healthcare contacts. This beast called hospital-acquired pneumonia is the leading cause of death among hospital-acquired infections. Most of this hospital-acquired pneumonia actually occurs outside of the intensive care unit, but and it's a big but, the highest risk for hospital-acquired pneumonia is obviously for patients with mechanical ventilation. And the estimates of occurrence are about 7 per 1,000 hospitalizations. So it's still rare, but not so uncommon that we can't or shouldn't pay attention to it. In terms of pathogenesis, it's related, obviously, to the number and virulence of the microorganisms, but also has a lot to do with the host in terms of their immunity. Most of the primary route of infection is through the lungs, mostly through microaspirations of organisms that have colonized the oropharyngeal tract. And the bugs range from aerobic gram-negative bacilli, things like E. coli and Klebsiella, also includes gram-positive cocci, obviously our old friend staph, including methicillin-resistant staph aureus, and of course strep. Nosocomial pneumonia due to viruses and fungi are certainly possible, but much less common except in the immune-compromised patient. So today we're going to look at an article, Mark, that you've selected. It's published in the journal Critical Care Medicine, and it asks a very narrow question, which is linezolid more effective than glycopeptides, including vancomycin or teicoplanin, for the treatment of nosocomial pneumonia? Mark, a couple of difficult-to-pronounce drugs there. What did the authors find?
Yeah, I agree. They're not really intuitive, are they? Why don't we call the linezolid by its trade name Zyvox, and the teicoplanin Targocid, which is its trade name. Vancomycin is just plain old Vanco. This was a meta-analysis to figure out if the new kid on the block, the Zyvox, was better than Vanco or Targocid for nosocomial pneumonia. The authors did a systematic review, and they did a good job. They searched Medline, the European Embase, and the Cochrane Library. They even looked for meeting abstracts and FDA repositories. The FDA repositories are particularly important because a lot of studies don't get published eventually. For example, I was recently looking at some data on complications of influenza, and as it turns out, the largest and, in fact, the majority of the trials, including the largest one on treatment of influenza with Tamiflu, have never been published, and you can only find them by dribs and drabs of data on the FDA site. So in any case, they were looking for prospective randomized trials. They independently assessed the eligibility, extracted the data, did all those things right, and they ended up at the end with 9 studies that had about 2,300 patients. So each study was reasonably sized, at least 250 patients per study. You always get a little worried when you've got a bunch of little, tiny, crappy studies with 30 people in them. So these were substantial studies. On the 5-point Jadad scale for study quality, they all came in at 3 or higher, which is good, so we can be fairly confident in their methods. They took the standard approaches to combining data, and what they found was that the Zyvox didn't increase the rates of clinical cure or microbiological eradication more than the Vanco or the Targocid. So it's no better in terms of either the POEMS or the DOSE for nosocomial pneumonia. And actually, they found that the Zyvox had an increased risk of thrombocytopenia with a relative risk of about 2, and also more gastrointestinal symptoms, about twice as many patients with nausea, vomiting, diarrhea as with the other drugs. They also didn't find any difference in the risk of kidney problems between Zyvox and the glycopeptide. So bottom line is that for nosocomial pneumonia, there's no real clear evidence that Zyvox is any better or safer than the older vancomycin or the somewhat older teicoplanin or Targocid for this problem. And there were more gastrointestinal symptoms and thrombocytopenia, which, you know, aren't by themselves, you know, fatal complications or anything. But
tell me, Mark, do you know anything about the cost of vancomycin? It is still expensive, but it's been around for a while. These other drugs are presumably more expensive. Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah, the Zyvox is quite expensive. 600 milligram tablets, 10 days worth or so is in the neighborhood of $1,700 just for the drug cost. On the other hand, if it can get someone out of the hospital who otherwise might have to stay in to get IV Vanco, you know, that's could be a cost savings. So I think you have to look at the bigger picture, and certainly the people making Zyvox want us to look at that big picture, but it's a valid point. And if so, you really have to see, you know, can we get, would it mean getting the patient home sooner?
Because the Zyvox is oral.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it seems like that's a very important cost factor. I mean, you know, Forget the administration of the IV Vanco. It's the hospital room and the dangers that can happen to you, some other hospital-acquired infection that you can get while you're there for the 7 or 10 days or whatever.
On the other hand, the message is that if, you know, it makes more sense to use Vanco, then it's you can be confident that it's going to be just as effective and at least as safe, at least for this, based on these studies.
Excellent. We'll talk again next week when you'll have another poem for us. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.